With SRN News, I'm John Scott. President Trump says if elected, Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden would be bad for North Carolina.
Biden's a servant of the wealthy donors and globalists and special interests who got rich, bleeding America dry, taking your jobs from North Carolina and every other place and moving them out of the country. And we turned it around. You got to remember that.
Mr. Trump addressing supporters during a Make America Great Again rally this afternoon in Greenville, North Carolina. That rally is still underway. President Trump calling out Twitter and Facebook for censoring a New York Post story unfavorable to Democrat Joe Biden. The Post story, based on emails obtained by the paper, cast doubt on Biden's claim that he had no knowledge of son Hunter Biden's overseas business dealings. Also at SRNNews.com, more than 50,000 California utility customers still without power and others around the state urged to conserve electricity. That's amid a fall heat wave that brought another round of extreme wildfire danger. The National Weather Service issuing heat advisories through Friday for more temperatures in the 90s, even triple digits in many parts of the state. More outages are scheduled for this afternoon in Northern California. The number of Americans seeking unemployment benefits rose last week to 898,000.
The latest number shows that layoffs remain a hindrance to the economy's recovery from the pandemic recession that erupted 7 months ago. The Labor Department report coincides with other recent data that have signaled a slowdown in hiring. The economy is still roughly 10.7 million jobs short of recovering all of the 22 million jobs that were lost when the pandemic struck in early spring.
And that is correspondent Jeremy House. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 44 points, the Nasdaq off 97. This is SRN News.
For your Thursday afternoon, a mix of sun and clouds with a slight chance of showers, high 86. Tonight, mostly cloudy, low 69. Friday, mostly sunny with a high up to 87. Friday night, mostly clear, low 63. Saturday will start the weekend a bit cooler, mostly sunny and breezy with a high only 75. And Sunday, mostly sunny, the high back up to 81.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood, heard at 11:30 a.m. daily. Dr. Youngblood deals with current issues from a biblical worldview. Don't miss this broadcast, heard at 91.7 and also 100.3 FM. Let's Face the Issues is a broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, in the Mandarin community.
Hey, welcome to SWAT Radio with Doug McCary of His Light Ministries. So happy you are listening today. I am Taylor Johnson, and if you would like to join the discussion, please call us at 1-844-777-7928. That's 1-844-777-SWAT, or you can email us at ask@swatradio.com. That is ask@swatradio.com. Today is Thursday. I'm not usually in on Thursdays, but...
No, but you know what? I made a mistake. Yes, it's true, Lori. I did another mistake, and I thought that Dr. Moeller was going to be here today, and I had misread the date. I thought it was this Thursday. It's next Thursday. We do have a guest this week. It is it's Tommy Nelson, the pastor out at Denton Bible Church. He is going to be our guest Friday, tomorrow, and Tommy did a message called The Continental Collapse on Judges, where he actually taught about Gideon and his sons. It's a fascinating lesson that we're going to get into a discussion tomorrow. And I think we need to get into these kind of discussions. And I realize, and by the way, those who have written, I appreciate your emails. I appreciate the fact that you listen and you take the time to write us, even though you may not agree philosophically, or we may disagree philosophically. And I know there's people that listen to this program that don't agree. I think that's a healthy thing. We don't have to all agree on everything. And that's what sharpens us. But I hope, and I wrote one of the listeners who had emailed us from up in Virginia, and I appreciate that email. But I said, I hope that what brings us together is more than what separates us. In other words, we may have differences of opinion about how people may lead this country and policy things related to the country, and we can disagree strongly. But what we do need to agree on is that Jesus is king. He is the only true king. We live in a democratic republic that was founded over 200 years ago by men who, most of them, professed to have a love for that king, Jesus, mm-hmm. and gave us a document called the U.S. Constitution that is one of the greatest legal documents in the history of the world. Mm-hmm. It just really is. And I really believe it was a gift from God to give those men the forethought to do it. It's not divine, but it has been very blessed as a country. This thing has been going on for over 200 years, and it does give people freedoms of pursuit of happiness and life, liberty, and the ability, if you have a grievance against a leader, you can take it to the courts. And so there's so many good checks and balances in there. And so even though we've had these, this is an election season. And one of the questions that keeps coming up, Taylor, is, and by the way, if you're just tuning in, this is SWAT Radio. SWAT stands for Spiritual Warriors Advancing Truth. And we advance truth in every arena, whether it's our daily life, whether it's on a sports field, or whether it's in a political conversation. You know, the two things in life that you normally are not allowed to talk about in mixed company or people who have differing views is you never bring up politics and you never bring up religion. Yeah. Well, that's not the way Jesus acted. That's not the way we act. We believe that the Bible speaks practically and relevantly to every aspect of life. And that includes political conversation. And right now, the most talked about thing in our country is not even COVID anymore. It's not the virus. It is the election coming up in 2 weeks. And so some of the people have commented about the direction of what we do in the week. We still go through our weekly study of Hebrews. We always take the first segment, and sometimes we bleed over in the second segment to talk about things going on in our culture. And I think those are things we need to talk about. As Christians, many times and far too often, we stick our head in the sand and we're basically pressured not to speak because we're called either homophobic, we're called bigots, We're haters. If we stand up for biblical truth, it's not the first time. There was a group of people in England called the Puritans. Mm-hmm. About the 1600s, they stood on the word of God. And, you know, they wanted to keep their faith pure. And they, the King of England at that time was tied in with the church. He was the leader of the church, mm-hmm. and there was a lot of corruption. There was a lot of greed, corruption, sexual immorality, and they said, no, this is not according to God's word. Well, there's a lot of things happening in our country. No, we don't have a theocracy, but we do have a democratic republic where every vote counts. And as believers, we have not only an opportunity, I believe we have a responsibility, like Dr. Groom said last week, to have a little slice of authority being salt and light in the election process of choosing. And I think we are accountable for that choice to the one true and living God. And we can't just do it based on emotion. We can't do it because we like people. We like their personality, because that's not wise and informed. Because Satan can appear as an angel of light. And just because somebody's likable doesn't mean that they're the best choice for our country. There's a lot of likable people that I wouldn't let, you know, I wouldn't trust them with anything. I wouldn't let them take care of my dog, much less vote them to be the president of the country. And I just think that as we look at the parties, like Dr. Grudem said, we need to go through an evaluation process. And there's a lot of stuff that you're not going to hear in the media. Like, I, for instance, Taylor, I got these today in the mail, and I'm holding up a couple of flyers. One is for one campaign, and it says, "We have an opportunity to build a better, stronger America, Joe Biden." That sounds good. Eliminate the Trump tax cuts for those earning over $400,000 a year. Well, one, that doesn't apply to me, probably doesn't apply to you. Help small businesses get back on their feet. I think that's great. Not giving more bailouts to big corporations. Make a historic investment in schools to raise teacher pay, expand pre-K, lower prescription drug cost, build a better America. That's the ad. Then I get another one. This is from the Trump-Pence ticket. It says, "President Trump and Vice President Pence are the most pro-life ticket in American history." And I would argue that's probably true. "They've appointed judges who will respect the Constitution and interpret the law, not write the law," which is true. "President Trump opposes taxpayer-funded abortions." Those are very different. But one of the things I want you to notice about the Biden-Harris ticket is when you look at the Biden-Harris ticket, you won't see that on Saturday of last week, Kamala Harris stood up in an event and said American churches are propaganda centers for intolerant, homophobic, xenophobic vitriol. She called American pastors knuckle-dragging disseminators of intolerance and enemies of social justice. Now, think about that for a second, what she just said. This is a verbatim quote for the Democratic vice presidential nominee who most likely within 6 months to a year will be the president of the country if that ticket wins. If she were to come president, if he became incapacitated, she doesn't even hide her disdain for the church. I mean, and if you go back and you look at her record of state attorney out in California when she was out there, she went after churches. She went after churches. So you can be assured that if Kamala Harris and Joe Biden get elected, and if she becomes president, she will not only be an enemy of biblical truth, she'll be an enemy of the gospel.
Yeah.
And, you know, even Biden said, "Those who hold to traditional views and intolerant Christian beliefs are dregs of society." Mm-hmm. Dregs of society. Now, I don't understand personally how a Christian in their right mind could vote for that, especially when you look at the platform that certainly coalesces alongside that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, we have been speaking about how our Bibles inform us and our faiths inform us as how we vote. And, you know, Dr. Grudem made a good observation. He wrote an article called "Why Pastors and Leaders Should Preach About Politics." And basically he said, those that listen to you need to see that the Bible speaks to all of life. I mean, when Paul said, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do for the glory of God, that means vote.
Mm-hmm.
If you go in there and vote and it's not going to bring glory to God, why are you going to do it? And I know the argument for people was, well, do you know how immoral Donald Trump is? Well, my response is, do you know how immoral Joe Biden is?
Yeah.
They're both immoral. We're all immoral people. The question is, who's going to lead with a platform that's going to most help our culture, most help our society? And when we come back, we're going to continue looking at this from a biblical standpoint, not from just a personal opinion standpoint. We're going to look at what the Bible says about those issues.
All right, stay tuned. You're listening to SWAT Radio.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
SWAT Radio is brought to you in part by Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. is a full-service sales door and window installation company. Both of the owners are licensed contractors and are involved in the daily operations of the company. All of their trucks are company-owned and fully equipped. Their mission is to provide Jacksonville and the surrounding area with door and window replacement services. To learn more, call 904-701-3667. That's 904-701-DOOR. Or online at www.acedoor.com.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice at the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, save it. He's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. And we've all run to things we know just ain't right. And there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom.
That is Chainbreaker by Zach Williams. Welcome back to SWAT Radio. SWAT stands for Spiritual Warriors Advancing Truth. And if you are just joining us, we took the first segment, as we usually do, to talk about the news and what's been going on in our society. Today we had a focus on why we as Christians should be involved and participate in our government, and talking a little bit about Doug's conversation with Dr. Wayne Grudem last week, and touching on some emails that we've gotten. And we're going to continue talking about that for a little bit, because it's really important that we as Christians are involved in the society that we're in.
Yeah. And, you know, you and I were talking, Taylor, at the beginning of the before we started the program today, about even yesterday. I don't know if you were watching the confirmation hearings, but Judge Barrett responded to a question by the Honorable Senator from Hawaii, and she responded by using the term sexual preference, to which the Honorable Senator from Hawaii said, that's offensive. That's an offensive term.
Yeah.
To say somebody makes a choice. I want you to just think about that for a second. 10 years ago, that term wasn't an offensive term. It was a preferred term. So within 10 years.
3 days ago, that wasn't an offensive term. Yeah. Like, that's, you know.
Yeah. But now it is. Yeah. And now Merriam-Webster Dictionary has gone in and put a footnote in to say that that term preference can be offensive when used in a sexual connotation.
And they changed that directly after that interchange
after
between
that,
those two.
In, yeah. After what happened. Mm-hmm. So this is having an impact on our culture.
Yeah. And I mean, not only that, you mentioned that your ad that you tried to post was censored and taken down by Facebook. Facebook and Twitter have both censored government officials for relevant information to the campaigns of, you know, that voters should know going into vote as it relates to some emails that were found or released in the past few days. And so, yeah, if there's going to be truth exposed, if we're going to speak the truth, you know, you got to have as many platforms as you can to push it out, because there are elements that want to obstruct and hide the truth.
Well, and here's the thing. You know, President Trump, as flawed as he is in his personal life or some personal choices he makes, whether it's his language or his conduct, whatever, has appointed probably more conservative judges in his short tenure than anybody during the same time. Those appointments have, that's probably one of the most important things a president does.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to point out a couple of cases that just got decided by lower district courts that show that. One, out in California, a U.S. district court, a federal court, sided with Fuller Seminary, which I know some professors out there, against two students who sued the school for anti-discrimination laws because they were expelled for being in a same-sex marriage. Recognized by the state, not recognized by the school. Now, this was always been a fear of believers that we will be compelled to violate our standards in order to accommodate man's standards. And it's a pretty big victory that the court ruled in favor of the seminary to say, yes, their religious freedom, but these are probably constitutional originalists who decided that, saying that the framers protected that ability. Title IX protects people from discrimination based on sex in educational programs that receive financial aid. As a result, a lot of people have been afraid that would be used against churches and schools specifically that do training and education to kind of make them have to relax their standards or change their standards. So that's a big victory. There was another one, the district. There was a federal district in the D.C. circuit that ruled that the D.C. coronavirus restrictions violated a church's religious exercise right. That's big.
Yeah.
The church has been meeting outdoors and observing social distancing, wearing masks, all that. But the district has banned all religious gatherings of over 100 people. But you can riot or protest over 100, you just can't meet as a church.
And the D.C. mayor marched with protesters.
Yes.
You know, arm in arm with them.
Mm-hmm.
Not social distance.
So the district argued that the church could have broken into smaller groups or met online. Well, that's not their position to tell them how to meet, or that's their freedom within our Constitution to meet, and they govern how they meet and how they want to do that. And the judge correctly noted that the district ignores the church's sincerely held and undisputed beliefs about the importance of gathering in person as a full congregation. I think that was a big ruling. So all that to say is our elections have consequences. And as believers, God does care about secular governments and their leaders. He puts them there.
Mm-hmm.
He allows them there. And we have a responsibility. If you look back to the Bible, Joseph elevated to the number two position. Daniel, the number three position. Nehemiah was a cupbearer. All of those men spoke into the life of the king. And I'm going to tell you, I said this the other day, I think. I don't know if it was on air or was it a Bible study. But Mike Pence is the most evangelical of all four of the people on the tickets running.
Mm-hmm.
And he does, I believe, speak into President Trump's life in a way a Nehemiah or a Daniel or none of them are perfect. But I believe Mike Pence really loves the Lord and really wants to allow his faith to inform how he speaks into the president's decisions and stuff for whatever he does. And so that's another reason. But also speaking the whole counsel of God to people. If we just stick our head in the sand with elections and say, nope, We're not going to say about that. And listen, I've apolitical. You've sat in SWAT a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Most people never know where I am, but because I'm taking such a strong pro-life, pro-family stance, I've never told anybody what I am, but I get accused of being a Republican conservative.
Mm-hmm.
When people don't know if I'm an independent, they don't know what I am.
Yeah.
But people make that assumption based on the platform. Well, let me tell you something. If I've got to be associated with a platform, I want to be associated with a pro-life, pro-family values platform mm-hmm. that's going to uphold those values and give us the freedom as believers to not only live that way, but to speak about that from God's word. Do you know that in Canada, pastors have been arrested for preaching against homosexuality as a sin? That's not that far away from us here. It may have already happened in California or in some places. I don't know. But it's not that far away. So as we think about that, pastors throughout history have made good influences on government by preaching about these things, speaking about them. I was sharing with you about in Rome how they made some changes, and you brought up slavery. The people that led the legislative changes were influenced by believers.
Mm-hmm.
William Wilberforce was a strong believer who helped lead the anti-slavery movement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Well, and then if you look at going back to Rome, the way that I heard this the other day, the way that the gladiatorial games were ended was that a priest saw what was going on, didn't like it, went down to try and stop it and got butchered. And it caused such an uproar and people were so disgusted at what they had been enjoying that it got the games canceled. And then you look at the American Revolution. Most people don't know this because we don't look at the history, but the American Revolution, the principles and the values were preached for 20 years in the pulpit before the revolution started. It was in the hearts and the minds of the people because of the pastors who were preaching. And if you look at our Constitution and the way it's set up, I mean, the biblical influence is there and it's strong, you know, and people don't realize that because we don't really teach history the way that we used to.
No, all that stuff has been changed, and legislative people are making those changes. And so as we think about our country, listen, we're going to have to stand and give an account, and really because of our life and where we are, if we're true believers, there's a remnant here. You know, in America, everybody goes to heaven. That's kind of the rule. Everybody thinks everybody goes. That's not the way it is. The road is narrow mm-hmm. that leads to heaven. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. In our country, we really haven't. You watch these debates. There's not a lot of intellectual integrity.
Mm-mm.
I mean, and things are shifting. True followers of Jesus are not very popular with people.
Mm-mm.
And you're going to get less popular. I think we're going to see bias and hate continue. And I do want to speak to that from Psalm 35, Psalm 129, address that. I'll read from that when we come back from the break. But we have an unusual opportunity today as pastors to speak into this. And when you think about Florida specifically, if you're listening to this in Florida, talk to your pastor, talk to the leaders in your church. What if you just persuaded 10 people to vote who otherwise would not have voted? If 1,000 people did that, think about how many people influenced. Do you know that George Bush won the presidency in 2000 by 537 votes? So, yeah, we have a responsibility, pastor, leader. We need to be speaking about how faith informs our vote.
Yep, we are about to head to the break for the news. We will be back with more after that break, though. We'd like to give a special thanks to our sponsors, Ace Door and Window, as well as a special thanks to our sponsors, Tom Neal Trucking, and to our sponsor, Jeff Andrews of Highway to Eternity Ministries. If you would like to sponsor the program, please email us at doug@swatradio.com. That's doug@swatradio.com. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. @SWAT Radio Talk is the handle. That is @SWAT Radio Talk. And you can also download our SWAT app in the App Store. You're listening to SWAT Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ILove.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. The Senate Judiciary Committee has set an October 22nd vote on recommending approval of Amy Coney Barrett's Supreme Court nomination to the Supreme Court. President Trump and challenger Joe Biden competing for TV audiences tonight in dueling town halls. The president will be on NBC from Miami, Joe Biden on ABC, originating from Philadelphia. Three Rockland County Jewish congregations have filed a lawsuit against Governor Andrew Cuomo of engaging in a streak of anti-Semitic discrimination with a crackdown on religious gatherings. The Manhattan federal court lawsuit says that Cuomo has made numerous discriminatory statements about the Jewish Orthodox community. On Wall Street, stocks are now mixed. The Dow ahead 3 points. The Nasdaq is down 39. This is SRN News.
I'm United.
You're seeing some delays because of a crash in Clay County on Blanding Boulevard southbound at Fillmore Street, blocking the left lane. Also, there's an accident on I-95 northbound before the 295 Beltway on the north side, and there's a broken down vehicle on I-95 northbound before Park Street. Mostly cloudy tonight, expect a low 69. Friday, mostly sunny, high 87.
This is Bishop Stan Williams, and I'm excited to announce the launch of the Church 320 radio broadcast. This is going to be an amazing time of impartation where we will focus on developing your faith, unifying your family, and maturing you spiritually through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every Monday through Friday on 91.7 and 91.9 FM, The Truth, at 2 a.m. to 2:30 a.m. I am excited, and I pray that you will tune in.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. That is David Crowder with All My Hope. And if you are just joining us, this is SWAT Radio. We have been talking about just kind of the news of the day, but also mostly focusing on why we should vote as Christians, why we should be involved politically, and why we should bring our values into the culture today, and that we shouldn't shrink back from that. There have been some emails about questioning, you know, why are we talking maybe a little bit more about politics than usual? Well, you know, we are obviously in a voting season. We're about to be electing a new president or keeping the current president. But I would also say that we're in the midst of a real cultural battle, a cultural shift, a culture war, if you will. And one side is about Christian values, and not perfectly, but at least will allow Christians to say their piece. And the other side is really about conforming to a social justice gospel, or the social justice as a whole, that is not willing to hear any dissent. That's how I see it, and I think that's why it's important to speak about what we see and how our biblical values inform how we decide to vote and how we see what's going on in the world. And, you know, that wasn't the case in the 90s or maybe so much in the early 2000s. But we are really in a place in society where we're closer to having two separate cultures that are going to continually butt heads. So that's just my two cents. Doug had shared a few of the emails with me, and it really seemed like some people were just questioning, and other people were upset because what we were talking about didn't match with their politics, and then, you know, accused us of this or that. And, you know, that's unfortunate, but I think it would, you know, we're allowed to have differences politically and still be Christians. And as I say, as we're moving more to a culture war, that's becoming less and less so as the church is starting to become partisan. But, you know, that's unfortunate. So anyway.
Well, when you think about this, I had one guy say, you know, abortion is not the only issue. There's other issues. 60 million plus babies have been murdered.
Yeah.
And you can say what you want to try to justify it, but it's a sacrifice on the altar of
Baal.
Yeah, it is. And
that's like saying, well, there's other issues besides slavery. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, well, okay, maybe, you know, states' rights, this and that, but it was states' rights to hold slaves. That's why the South seceded.
Well, the thing that really baffles me is why a lot of the people who support Planned Parenthood won't even acknowledge that the founder of Planned Parenthood was an avowed racist. Mm-hmm. She had ethnic prejudice and motives behind mm-hmm. the abortions. And, you know, one of there was a wife of a very prominent at one time up in the D.C. area guy that I knew. And she posted something the other day. I just want you to read it. I want you to hear this, because you hear about, well, except in the case of rape and incest. And that's why we should keep it on the books. She was listening to the hearing where they were showing all these cases. And she says, listening to the hearing today, I understand Samantha was raped and found out she was pregnant and she wanted to terminate her pregnancy. I'm glad that when my bio mom, Ruby, was raped at age 14, she didn't seek an abortion, but she sought to hide her pregnancy and give me a chance at life. I was the baby formed in the image of God by no fault of her own. I thank Ruby under my breath all the time, because I'm alive and I'm their parents' dream, I'm not going to say their name, was realized through a horrible tragedy to Ruby, but still protected by God. I mean, that's powerful. Mm-hmm. And here this lady, who is a believer, whose husband served at one of the highest levels in our country, mm-hmm. and she's interceding for him, being a helpmate to him, because a woman who was raped was led before sonograms, before any of the real pregnancy centers that are out there today mm-hmm. that do such good work, because this lady made a choice to have life. And it's very rare that you see those choices independent yeah. of a Christian. And who knows, maybe somebody did come alongside her and help her understand that. I know that today that most of the people who see a sonogram of their baby choose not to abort that baby. Mm. And that's why Planned Parenthood doesn't like that. They don't yeah. like these crisis pregnancy centers. They don't like those things. And so as we think about that, that is a big issue in the election. But the other one is the whole gender, transgender, and the homosexuality. It has morphed from just being a man who wants to be with a man and a woman who wants to be a woman. Now it encompasses LGBTQ. You can
plus.
Plus. And it's going to continue to morph. And these cases are already going up to the highest court. So do we want somebody on there who's an originalist, who thinks that the way that our founding fathers intended for our government to function, and how pursuit of happiness doesn't mean pursuit of anything that you want that infringes on the rights of other people? I mean, our country was founded on Christian principles.
Mm-hmm.
that these inalienable rights that were endowed to us by God, the Creator, for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, in the minds of the framers, most of them, whether they were devout believers or not, believed in the values of the Judeo-Christian God.
And they said that, I believe this was Adams, I could be getting it wrong, but that our form of government is only for a moral people. It is wholly inadequate for any other.
It's exactly right.
Yeah, because with freedom, not to quote Spider-Man, comes responsibility.
Yeah, but that is a good quote.
It's the truth that, you know, the way our founders looked at it was that we have freedom as far as small government because we regulate ourselves through our guidance, you know, obviously through community and family, but mostly from God. And that was the whole thought process, that we don't need a king because God will be our king.
Well, here's the thing. If you are a baker and you don't want to bake a gay wedding cake because you don't want to contribute to that, you should have the right and freedom to tell them, you know what, I would rather not do that. I'll make you a cake. You can do whatever you want with it, but I'm not going to decorate it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to go to somebody else to do that. I think they should have that freedom and right. But our country, under the court system that we have, under other previously appointed judges, has, or in some case, very liberal-leaning judges out in the West, have said, you know what, if you don't do this, you're going to have to pay fines, and some up to $150,000, because they don't bake a cake for a gay couple.
Yeah, well, and the courts, you know, to go farther, there have been states that had put in their state constitution that marriage is between a man and a woman, and the courts said, well, nope, that doesn't, you can't do that. You know, that the law of the land now is that you're going to have to say marriage is what we say it is, right, rather than allowing people to have their say and states to have their say. And, you know, that's a troublesome precedent to set.
Well, they're at a troublesome place right now. And we're going to have a lot of cases regarding, because you got some states that recognize it, some states that don't. You know, I think that as we look at these things, though, we have to remember that if you stand for biblical truth in our country, we are moving toward a time of difficulty, mistreatment, and you can expect persecution down the road if people that are enemies of the gospel, and I use that term knowingly, that there are people who, I just read a quote from Kamala Harris, what she said, how she feels. That she's not hiding anything.
Mm-hmm.
Even Joe Biden said, if you hold on to these values, why? What values is he talking about? He's talking about a man and a woman, God's design being what we stand for and the way we teach. And I will say this, we don't need to fear persecution, because persecution purifies and grows the church. It will. It's going to weed out those people that are only in there that are an inch deep and a mile wide. It's going to make us go. I mean, in America, you can be charismatic, sharp, be winsome, and you can grow a church by being a great communicator. But again, you're an inch deep and a mile wide.
Yeah.
That's not the kind of churches that were in the Bible, and throughout time, God's people go deep, 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 deep. So the goal of Christian life is not growing old in the Christian life. It's growing up in the Christian life, putting Christ on display to people. So I'm happy for you to call in. I would love for you to call in and tell me, what about the Democratic Party platform brings glory to Christ? I really would like to have a conversation, and I would like to pair that against what, I mean, for people who really are struggling. I realize we got climate change that's on their platform and caring for justice, you know, and we should care for justice. But I think that's part of the platform of the Republican Party, too, is they want to see reform. There needs to be reform.
Well, yeah, I think the two parties have two different definitions of justice at this point, and so part of the voting is, what is the true definition of justice?
Yeah.
We will be back with more after the break. We'd like to give a shout out to our listeners listening in Virginia at the Lighthouse, as well as in Meridian, Mississippi. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomneal.com.
Look down from a broken sky, traced out by the city lights, my world from a mile high, best seat in the house tonight. Touchdown in the cold black top, hold on for the sudden stop, breathing the familiar shock of confusion and chaos. All those people going somewhere, why have I never cared? Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Yeah. 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 Step out on a busy street, see a girl and our eyes meet. Does her best to smile at me, to hide what's underneath. There's a man just to her right, black suit and a bright red tie, too ashamed to tell his wife.
That is Give Me Your Eyes by Brandon Heath. Welcome back to SWAT Radio. We have been talking today about why we should vote as Christians, why our faith should inform how we vote, how we engage with society, and been kind of responding to some feedback, some questions that have been asked. So if you would like to join the discussion or you have any questions, please call us at 1-844-777-7928. That's 1-844-777-SWAT. Or you can email us at ask@swatradio.com. That is ask@swatradio.com. Radio.com. We would love to hear from you and get your take and answer any questions that you may have. And before the break, Doug asked anyone to call in who thought that the Democratic Party was better than the Republican Party, why biblically that would be the case, just to have a real conversation and kind of understand where you're coming from. And I think we have a caller. James. And James, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. And I could never vote for a Democrat, but so I'll keep this short in case someone does want to call in. But, as far as abortion, I had heard a comment some time ago, and it seems to be very effective. And it's, especially when they use, what about abortion or what about this, that, or the other thing. One very effective argument is, well, I'm personally against rape, but if someone else wants to do it, that's almost what it's like.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how quickly women's heads turn around with that when you use that argument. And what's worse, murder is certainly much worse.
Yeah, that's a good point. That if you take their argument and flip it in a way that no one would be confused is wrong, it's like, oh, that kind of shows the point pretty strongly. Yeah. Exactly. I hadn't heard that one. That's pretty good.
That's good, Jim.
Yeah, it definitely will turn heads quickly. That's all I had. Thanks, guys.
No, thank you. Thanks for listening and thanks for calling. You know, one of the big arguments, Taylor, is that people go, well, I can't vote for Trump because he's an immoral man. My conscience won't let me vote for him. Well, why in the world would your conscience let you vote for Joe Biden then? Joe Biden has not only been accused of sexual assault, too. Mm-hmm. He's outright lied on a bunch of occasions. He bragged on a video that's widely distributed about coercing the Ukrainian guy. What President Trump was accused of, this is the hypocrisy that bothers me. Mm-hmm. He actually did what President Trump was accused of, and nothing has been done. Hillary Clinton the same way back then. Mm-hmm. So I just don't understand how people can say they morally don't like Trump, but the other person is good. I just don't see that argument.
I think what you're talking about with Biden is incredibly relevant because it has big implications as far as government corruption is concerned. And I don't think a lot of people really know that whole situation, but the bare bones of it is that his son was working for a Ukrainian gas and oil company called Burisma, and they were getting looked into for corruption, and Joe Biden came in, said, hey, I got $1 billion of aid money for you guys in Ukraine, but I'm not going to give it to you unless you fire the guy who's looking into the company that his son was on. They were like, well, you can't do that. Obama said, you know, and he's like, call Obama, ask him. I'm telling you, you can't. And so they fired him. They fired the guy. Now Biden says, you know what? No, I never talked to my son about that. That had nothing to do with that. And lo and behold, just this past week, emails came out that showed and proved that, no, he had talked to his son about that. And he had met with high executives of that company. I mean, that is corruption at the highest levels of government. And I mean, personal immorality is bad. I'm not saying it's not. But that type of government moral bankruptcy is bad too.
So here's my point though, is they're both bad.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. People say if you vote for Trump, I'm just telling you what people say. If you vote for Trump, you approve of the way he's been immoral with people, especially women. It does not mean that. I mean, it just because you vote for you're voting for a platform, and people go, well, when faced with the lesser of two evils, I'm just not going to choose either one. By not choosing one, you're choosing apathy. The thing is, if Gruden makes this point, is really good. He said, if you're choosed with a choice between two evil actions, yes, you don't choose that, whether it's stealing or telling a lie. But that's not what we're talking about. You have a choice to vote or not vote. To vote for an adulterer doesn't mean you're approving adultery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got a graft guy or an adulterer guy. I'm just saying, so you got to pick. It's kind of like picking between Stalin and Hitler.
Yeah.
You got to pick one.
Well, and I can understand to say, you know, lesser two evils, I'm not going to choose either, because that's where I was in 2016. With Trump in 2016, he had no public record as far as public policy working in the public realm. And so, you know, I'd seen kind of what he'd said and his abrasive style. And then I saw Hillary Clinton, who seemed to me very corrupt. And I was like, you know what? I can't put my name behind either of those. And so if that's where you're at, I understand that. But I will say that since Trump has gotten to office, he's been, for somebody who, you know, has the moral failings he has been very consistent with doing what he said he was going to do. And that was my problem with him in 2016, is I didn't know if he would do what he said he would do. But he so far has done what he said he would do, and stuff that other presidents wouldn't have made promises to do and never did, such as moving the embassy to Jerusalem. So, you know, I think that now that he has a track record, I'm not voting based on his abrasive style or what he said. I'm voting based on what the platform is and whether I really think that he'll be able to do what's on the platform, or if he will. And I think what you're talking about, I think we've had for the long time looking for our government officials to be like saints.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
well, they never have been,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
I mean, you have, even if you go back, you have to go back to George Washington, and even he had problems too. Everybody had problems. Yeah. But if you look at the platforms, this is the issue. We've come to the point, I think it started with Bill Clinton, actually. But we've come to the point where we vote on personality, not platforms. Mm. And if you read the Republican platform and the Democratic platform for this year, what they say, and Wayne Grudem was very strong on this. And I listen, this is a guy who has cared nothing about nothing more than getting Christ's agenda out there for most of his life. Mm-hmm. If, as long as I've known about him, his systematic theology book, his politics in the Bible, all this stuff is to help Christians learn how to take the Bible and live. He's looked at both platforms. He said the Republican platform has never been more supportive of Christian principles than the one they've got this year. Mm-hmm. The Democratic platform has never been more antithetical to Christian principles than this year. So you've got two polar opposites. And so it's important who we vote for when we go in there. Policy differences matter. You can't just have one pet policy. You've got to look at the whole thing. And I think, you know, you can communicate to people, listen, in the future, we want morally upstanding people.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is we're stuck with what we have.
Mm-hmm.
We have these platforms. What are we going to choose to do? Which one are we going to go? Are we going to compromise the gospel or hurt the gospel's efforts to go forth? Because you can see right now, look and see how the churches in the democratically controlled states are doing.
Getting arrested for standing outside singing hymns, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I've been in places where you say Jesus, and I've been told you can't say Jesus' name here in other countries. Mm. I've been told that. And it's funny to me that when I talk to my indigenous friends from India, Nepal, Bhutan, other countries where they've been persecuted, they say, we hope President Trump gets reelected because he's been very good for Christians.
Mm.
I said, how do you know? I've never said anything to them about anything political. Oh, my friends that live there, they talk about how good he's been for Christians. It's so radically different, the platform. And so I think, you know, we can't have our head in the sand. As believers, we have a responsibility. And yes, we are talking about politics, but from a biblical informed perspective, because the Bible is practical and relevant to every aspect of our life. And tomorrow we're going to hear Tommy Nelson talk about how in the Bible, politics, one of the first cases with the life of Gideon and his sons, the first oligarchy.
Mm.
And by the way, look who's lining up behind who. You're looking at Facebook,
mm-hmm.
all the tech giants, the Hollywood celebrities. These are not people of faith, most of them, who are lining up to support one platform over another. That should inform you, too.
Yeah. You've been listening to SWAT Radio. If you missed any of this program or would like to listen to past programs, please visit us at www.swatradio.com. That's www.swatradio.com. Or you can listen to our podcast by searching SWAT Radio. You can also download our SWAT app in the App Store, and you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. At SWAT Radio Talk is the handle. That is at SWAT Radio Talk. Join us weekdays at 3 o'clock for more SWAT Radio. We will see you then. Thank you so much for tuning in.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on Past Shows, where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts. and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at